Hare Krishna. This morning's Bhagavatam class was from the fourth chapter of the seventh canto. It was interesting, although purportless, verse that said that those who are envious of the demigods, Brahmins, Vaishnavas, cows, the Supreme Lord, Vedic literature and its teachings, they are destroyed, and the civilization that shares their conceptions of life are similarly destroyed. Gloomy picture. But it's the reality, and of course it's the reality, and Bhagavatam says so. But it's the unfortunate reality that we live in, that this innate envy, which originates with envy of Krishna, manifests in so many types of sinful conduct, misconduct, negligence of things that are valuable. And we don't necessarily appreciate the weight or the measure of what's going on in the world in terms of that type of sinful conduct, partly because we're so attuned to it. We're brought up in it. We're conditioned to it. We can't fight with conditioning. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunti prakriti janagunan sarasat gunasan masya. So conditioning makes a pig think like, you know, he's in a civilized condition of life, and that it's very good. So it also makes us quite tolerant of intolerable situation. And what we were talking about this morning, it does stem with the whole concept of what we deem to actually be real happiness. Anandamaya abhyasat. Here is the Vedic declaration that we all want happiness, and there's two types of happiness. There's independent happiness and there's dependent happiness. Independent happiness means I don't need anything else, anyone else to be happy other than myself. And dependent happiness means my happiness is dependent on other people, things, circumstances, and so on. So the happiness of the former is the happiness of God, and the happiness of the latter is the happiness of God's servants. Although interestingly enough, because he is Om Purnamada Purnamidam, because he's complete, and although he doesn't need anything else to be happy, but because there's this other type of happiness, he enjoys both. And which is the happiness dependent upon other living entities, and therefore eko bahusyam. Therefore there are many living entities that manifest from the original living entity, and they're there in order to increase his happiness, because his happiness increases like that from interaction with others. We don't have both of these facilities. We only have facility to be happy in one way, and that is when our happiness depends upon the happiness of Krishna, in relationship to Krishna. Try as we might, and we sure are trying, and that's what the world is about, is that we create our own happiness. We create our own circumstances, our own association, our family, our society. We have all the different items that we create to be happy. In other words, we want to imitate that God is Atmarama, Aptakama, is that he self-manifests all of the resources for his own happiness. But probably you've noticed it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And there are foolish people who still consider that, all right, well, that's just because we don't have enough. But we have enough. In fact, we only need one. Ma me kam. That's all that we really need. So Krishna consciousness, and in the larger context, Vedic culture, is about convincing living entities that the formula for happiness is futile, but happiness does exist, but they have to learn how to be happy with pleasing Krishna, right? For Krishna's happiness, because even the experience of happiness, the sensation of happiness, that comes from Krishna himself. What to speak of even the ability or the resources and the things that make us happy. So, not an easy thing, because as Krishna himself admits, that this type of happiness doesn't taste good in the very beginning. He says it's like poison. It's like poison in the beginning, and it ends up being nectar later on. Rupa Goswami gives an example of jaundice. When we have jaundice, then sweet things taste bitter, but sugar is at least the Vedic approach to solving jaundice, and you have to eat large quantities of it, but it tastes very, very bitter. Eventually, the taste comes back, the taste of sweetness. So similarly, the happiness, real happiness of Krishna consciousness, of pleasing Krishna, it tastes bitter. Therefore, it's called tapasya. It's austerity. Tapo divya putra kadena sattvam. It's not austerity. It's bliss. But because that bliss tastes like poison in the beginning, therefore we call it, oh, this is very austere. And we see the austerity is there. The austerity is there in the mind. The austerity is there in the body. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that the experience is beyond us. We also experience it. Devotees experience the pleasure, especially when it comes from kirtan. Wonderful kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, and you experience the result. The result becomes transcendental happiness. And devotees do some service that they know that Krishna likes. Like, for instance, now I have a distribution marathon distributing books. Whatever the result, big or small, but still there's that sense of you feel rewarded. Yes, I did the right thing. Sense of satisfaction. Why? Because Krishna's satisfied. We feel satisfied because he's satisfied. The result? Detail. But effort, made the effort to please him. So Krishna's pleased. But in order to do things that appear to be austere, that are difficult, you need to be intelligent. That type of adherence to an understanding of the higher principles of Krishna consciousness. That's only possible when one is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, when one is in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, with Bhagavad Gita, when one is regularly hearing. Otherwise, the mind is still conditioned to satisfy the senses, and if we give it a chance, it will once again take us away with different arguments like, well, I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for so long and it's still not happening for me. I've been doing this for 5 years or 10 years or 30 years. Well, how determined are we to do it? Personified Vedas. Well, there's different numbers, but sometimes it looks like 60,000 years. Sometimes it looks like creations. They, in order to attain perfection, 60,000 years. That's a long time. And they're the Vedas. I don't know how many listeners are personified Vedas or equivalent to them, or what kind of qualification do these personified Vedas have? Extraordinary qualification. So they're the Vedas themselves in personified form. So 60,000 years. The Prabhupada said then, it's one life. You may think it's a long time, but for what you're getting, it's not a long time, but this is our misfortune. We tend to measure things in terms of instant. We want things instantly. So getting used to that austerity, getting used to what may appear to be quite poisonous, that's all right. We just do it, and it will become nectar. We have to trust in Krishna. No way around it. We just have to have that faith. Hare Krishna.